Welcome to another episode of the Everyman Drummer Podcast. I am your host, Will, and today's discussion, let's have a little bit of talk. Let's talk a little bit about ride cymbals and what I like to look for when it comes to ride cymbals. Now, everybody has their own personal taste on ride cymbals and what they want from a ride cymbal. A lot of people, there's certain guys out there that like to have a ride cymbal with that's heavy on overtones. A lot of people like to have it more articulate, where it sounds like you're hitting a nice piece of glass on there and has that nice bounce, and it's got a lot of brightness on there. A lot of people like those as well. And some people like a nice even stretch between the two of them. It's got a little bit of the overtone on there, and then it's got a little bit of that bounce on there. Personally, the type of ride cymbal that I like, it's got to have that old, dry, dark sound on there. Those are my favorite rides when it comes to them. The other, I want to say, back in November, I was down at Vic's Drum Shop just before he closed his doors from being a brick-and-mortar retailer to now an all-inclusive online realtor. My daughter and I went down there. We were shopping for new drum heads for the other drum kit up here in my drum room. I was shopping to replace the drum heads on the Ludwig drum set that I have here. It's a traditional jazz kit on here. And that being said, you know, my daughter also being a percussionist as well at junior high, she wanted to get a new set of sticks, so, you know, get those sticks out of the way. So in the meantime, if anybody is here in the local area here in Chicago, then you guys will understand what Vic's Drum Shop is and where it is located in the Music Garage right here in on the West Loop area, where the Fulton Food District is. Great district, by the way. If you're in town, plenty of fancy restaurants. They're all fantastic. Been to a few of them myself. Go ahead and check that out. That's on the Fulton District right there in Chicago's West Loop area. That's also where the Music Garage is located and where Vic's Drum Shop is located. Again, they have since closed their doors to the public and are now more of an online retailer now, which is kind of, you know, that kind of breaks a lot of our hearts and mine as well. They were one of the best shops that I've known. I'm not just throwing it out there because I do know the owner, Victor Salazar, who's the namesake of that shop. But it was a very good shop. It was a very great professional drum shop. And, you know, artists is coming in the area would often stop by, and, you know, people do, you know, catch glimpses of them every now and then as well. But other than that, I was down there with my daughter on a Saturday afternoon, and we were shopping for drum heads, and I decided, you know what, I want to go to into the cymbal room. And over at Vic's, there was a different room built for each part of the drum kit. You had your cymbal room, you had a snare room, you had an electronic drum set room, you had a regular drum room where you can test whatever drum kit you wanted, you know, wall of drumsticks, everything. It was a drummer's version of Toys R Us. You know, that, you know, was a spawn of, if everybody knows about the drum pad in Palatine, Illinois, you guys know that drum shop for a long time was the spot to be if you were a drummer in the area, if you were a professional stopping by. The only problem with that one was it was in Palatine, Illinois, which is a good 45 to an hour drive away from the city. It was just a haul, whereas Vic's is right in the heart of downtown, right there on the West Loop. So, but we're not here to compare those two shops. That's, you know, that's between them. I don't have favorites in between the two of them. I actually met Vic when he was working at the drum pad in Palatine, and then he spun it off and built his shop, which, you know, rightfully so. He's the drum guru here. Victor Salazar is the guy. So, but back on the discussion of rides, like I was talking before, I like to have my rides dry, that very vintage old sound. So those really old Turkish sounding rides, you know, you were talking like the UFIP cymbals, I'm drawing a blank on the other brand right now. That's they're an old Turkish brand, and I For the life of me, I can't think of it right now. Anyway, but the ride cymbals that I go for tend to be that very dark, washy type sound. So we were in, my daughter and I were in the cymbal room and we were checking them out. And I just decided, you know what, let's check these out. And she didn't know. She was her first time into that shop. And she didn't know that you could just pull whatever cymbal off of the rack and throw it on. They had a couple test drum sets there. And you could just throw it on the stand and you can just test it. And she's like, "We're not gonna get in trouble for this." I'm like, "No, we're not gonna get in trouble. We're here just to try it out." People walking by, looking through the windows are hearing, you know, whatever. So I'm in the drum room and in that cymbal room, and there's test sticks to use for to test out all the cymbals, because it's not just rides, it's crashes, chinas, whatever, or what you name it, he had it in there. So, and he I went over by the rides where the rides were, and there was this beautiful Meinl sandblasted, the Sandcaster vintage ride. And this was a 22-inch ride. Now, mind you, my preference in rides are 20s, but I wasn't going to complain about this one. I was trying it out as a 22. It sounded immaculate. Threw it on the stand, you know, let it just, you know, there was no wing nut on the top, so you can, if you were to crash it, it would just sway and it would have that jazzy wash on there. And I went ahead, threw it on the stand, picked up the test sticks, and I just started going to town with that cymbal. And the tones, it just resonated. So it was just beautiful sounding ride. That's what I look for in rides. I like those dark sounding old vintage. If you put on, you go and you listen to this ride cymbal, it's the Meinl sand ride, a vintage sand ride. I don't even know if it's the Benny Greb signature one, whatever it was fantastic, and it had a fantastic price on it as well. Which a lot of times, if you're gonna have to pay to play with a lot of these things, and usually when they sound that great, you know, there's always a catch to it. You're gonna, you know, mortgage the house for the 10th time and sell off your firstborn child for it. I wouldn't suggest doing that, but everybody catches that knows what they know what I'm talking about when we're talking, when you start hearing these fantastic new cymbal sounds that you dream of and then maybe one day you'll own. But that's what that ride cymbal did. I threw it and the just beautiful sound off of this ride, and I took another one off, and this one was more of it was a K Zildjian ride, and I threw that one up on the other cymbal stand, and I was just playing around with them. Just that dark sound, it's just something that it has me salivating at the mouth, if you were to put it that way. It's like you're ringing the bell and the dog salivates. You hit a vintage cymbal like that with the no lathing, and that warm, dark, just ugly, you know, nasty sound, and it just sounds like, you know, music out of the 40s and 30s, or 30s and 40s jazz music. It's when it sounds like that, that's just music to my ears. That's a lot of the time I tend to go and look at the vintage cymbals, because yes, a lot of the new cymbal companies now, they claim to produce those vintage sounds, but there's nothing like hitting a vintage cymbal that actually sounds like what the new ones are trying to reproduce. And that's my take on that ride right there. I like that sound. A nice dark washy bell as well. Another ride that I'll put up into the forefront now, Paiste offers the 20 series, the dark series of rides, and they're just phenomenal. Phenomenal rides. They're just, you know, I again, I play a lot of I've been recording a lot lately with funk and R&B and blues, and you know, my ride cymbal, it's never failed me. I'm still using the same 502 Paiste 20-incher that I bought almost 20 years ago, 20 something like that, yeah, around 20 years ago, and it has never failed. The only difference that I wish it had, I wish it had more of a darker tone. And the way that I achieve that now is just, you know, you just duct tape the hell out of it and it deadens the sound and it sounds fantastic. That's, you know, you got to use, we drummers find and we innovate our own ways into getting you know, that sound that we're looking for without killing ourselves, breaking the bank. You know, sometimes we don't have, a lot of us don't have that luxury where we can just call up said drum company and say, hey, give me this sound. I need this for tomorrow. A lot of us don't have that luxury. Maybe a lot of us don't want that luxury because you don't want to be handcuffed to that brand, you know, that, you know, personal preference, personal choice. Play what you like. Play what you think sounds good. Play what's music to your ears. Not try to get something, you know, and with said drum company, although it is very nice, I'm not here to bash endorsements or drummers that have endorsements. It's just us free agent drummers, we can play whatever we want without being backlashed for using a different product. That's all I have to say about that. But I look at my 20-inch 502 Ride, and it's survived almost 20 years. You know, I don't see any time in the future that I'm going to replace it, but, you know, you do drool over some of the new ones, and, you know, I have a 505 Heavy Ride that's just a phenomenal sounding ride. Again, this one's a 22, so this one has more overtones than the 20 does, and I will use that one every now and then. It's not something that I would, you know, put on the regular kit, or it depend. Again, form follows function. Whatever the gig is calling for is what I'm going to use, is the symbol that I'm going to use. So ride symbols for me, and I think I've alluded this before in the past in a prior episode, is, in my opinion, the ride symbol, the hi-hats, out of your entire arsenal of symbols, those should be the most expensive symbols in your art, in my opinion. That's like the putter in the golf bag, you know, for symbol wise the ride and the hi-hat. Those are the ones that are going to be hit the most. Those are going to be the ones that stand out a lot when you're recording, and the people are just going to hear those a lot more than any of the other symbols. I mean, you have splashes, crashes, chinas, whatever you got. You know, you have all those other ones out there. But how often are you going to be hitting them? You're not going to be riding on a splash cymbal. You know, you may, some guys ride on a crash or a china, you know, but not often do we have that. You ride on a ride. So your ride and your hi-hats are going to be that way, are going to be, you know, the ones that are the most expressive of all the cymbals. And for my taste, you know, not telling everybody that this is the way it has to be, because there's no rules. This is just my taste on it too. When it comes to the ride symbol, I like the dark, you know, dead sounding ride. It's just something. It's just that vintage sound. That's something that just is ear pleasing to me. That there's, it just has that tone that I look for. There's that perfect amount of wash on there as well. When you do crash them, sometimes with those vintage sounding rides, those vintage old rides, those dark rides, they have such a warm wash when you crash those. I try to crash mine every now and then. It doesn't give that same effect, I'll just tell you that. When I pull the tape off the bottom, the actual sound of this ride, it's brighter than any ride that I've played. Now, I did own, at one point, it's probably somewhere, you know, my dad probably has it somewhere, I do have a 20-inch A-Zildjian Ping Ride. Now, that guy has got more of that warm sound. But at the time, I was doing that transition where you switch over from Zildjian to, I switched from Zildjian to Paisley, and, you know, you kind of want to keep everything, you know, consistently. You want to keep everything consistent. And as I've gotten older and matured through my playing, it's like I kind of want to have that ride back. It's just one of those ride symbols that you want to have in your arsenal, because you may need it for something, for a certain gig or a certain recording that you're doing, that you want to have that there at your disposal to have it just as a just in case. You know, give you an example. The other day I was recording for a friend of mine, and I didn't like the way certain cymbals sounded, so I went back into the vault and pulled out some cracked, broken ones, and those gave that very vintage sound that we're looking for. The song called for something more vintage sounding, so I went ahead and went that. And it's amazing what they can do, what cymbals will do for you. If you got some old cracked ones, that's why you don't throw them away, unless it's completely useless, then you throw it away. But until it gets to that point, it's cracked cymbals, you know, they give sometimes that sound that you get those special effects symbols with the holes cut in them to them. They give that washy China sound with them. You know, I wish Rye, if we can crack a ride and see what it sounds like, and maybe, you know, eventually the ride that I'm using will crack eventually, and maybe it will give that dark sound that I'm looking for at a cost, though. But we're not here to purposely crack cymbals, and I don't suggest that anybody do that. But again, back to the ride cymbals, I tend to lean toward those darker traditional ride cymbals. You know, a lot of guys will go out there, they get the big bell because they really want a bell that cuts through the mix. Those are fun too. Alex Van Halen's bell, there's something about that bell on his ride. If he's using that mega 24 inch ride there, that bell just cuts through the mix. It's just fantastic. And it's bells on the other end, bells all sound great depending on any ride. You know, obviously the flat top rides, there's no bell there. So, but on my end, I tend to lean, again, I'll tell you this and I'll repeat this over and over, I lean toward those vintage sounding rides. There's guys out there that like to use just the, you know, that are very articulate. Paul Wertigo is one that's very articulate with the ride cymbals. He's very, you know, coming up with playing with Pat Metheny, I guess you're going to learn how to play a ride cymbal like you are playing a regular drum. But, you know, that's his preference on there. I'm sure he has some traditional sounding rides in there, those old darker ones. So, but that's my taste on, that's my take on the ride cymbal again. A lot of you guys will probably, you know, come back and say, yeah, I like this ride, or take a listen to this ride. I did that with a viewer on YouTube. Carter McLean was testing some old rides, or not older, he was testing some newer rides that had that wash on there. And, you know, I made a comment on there saying it is a very good ride, but you know, I tend to lean toward those sounds, but I also like, you know, this ride here, blah blah blah, this. And people would, you know, agreed. They're, you know, you look at whatever the guy's testing at the time, and, you know, of course he's gonna like those because that's what he's using. So, and then people are gonna wanna, you know, say this brand is better, this brand is, oh, it could be. It, you know, they just, whatever the ear likes to hear again, and that's when it comes to the sounds of the ride cymbals. So my taste on ride cymbals, dark. It may not always be better, but it works for me, and that's what I look for when it comes to a ride cymbal. And I'd like to hear what your guys' thoughts are on the ride cymbals, so shoot me some messages over on Twitter at Will Geronimo, and then we'll go from there. We can have this long discussions on there. We can continue this over there, but stay tuned. Again, we're releasing our podcast every Friday morning at 10, unless otherwise specified. If sometimes we'll do one during the week, you know, if there's a topic, if it comes up, trying to, you know, hopefully whatever we're going through at the moment, you know, it comes closer to the end, because we will be approaching May really soon, and the Chicago Vintage Drum Show is coming up. So unless there's something that's going on, you know, in the world, then we can figure out what else we can do about that. But again, go ahead and these podcasts come out every Friday morning at 10, and they're available on Spotify or iTunes or wherever they're on your wherever you get the podcast. I'm not going to repeat what you've heard already before on other podcast shows. So leave a like, leave a 5-star review, leave a review. I'm not going to repeat it again. You've heard it before on all those other shows. It's nothing different here. Just, if you guys have comments, shoot them this way. If you guys, there's topics out there you guys want to talk about, let's do it. This show, again, is for you guys. I do this for you guys. We are the everyman working drummers out there, so we all should just be, it's like a drummers in the round. So until the next time, until we meet again, you guys all take care of yourself, keep drumming, and we'll talk to you soon.